It's finally here. Stop into Menards for amazing Black Friday deals. A 54-inch giant snow tube is only $9.99 each. Ladies' slippers are just $6.99 a pair. And a men's heated jacket is $49.99. Ah, there's so many great Black Friday deals. I can't list them all. You'll have to hurry to Menards while supplies last to get these and many more Black Friday deals. Sale good Black Friday through December 1st. See Menards.com for details.
Save big money at
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, for this classic episode, we are going all the way back to June 11th, 2019, episode 10, with our good friend Johnny Christ from Avenged Sevenfold. Hope you guys enjoy. Peace.
Hey, welcome to the show. Feeling good with Duddy. That's me. Let's go.
Hello, hello. Once again, we are back with another episode of Feeling Good with Duddy. And as always, I'm here with my brother and my co-host, Jake Bushnell.
Hello today.
He's a man of few words. He is. And also today, we have a very special guest, a good friend of ours, another local boy, Johnny Christ from Avenged Sevenfold. What's up?
How you doing?
I'm doing good, man. Thank you for stopping by.
Thanks another man, man, a few words.
Yeah. Yes, yes. This is going to be a tough episode.
Yeah. You're going to have to carry it, man.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm used to it, but, you know.
Hi.
Anything else? So, yeah, man, thanks for stopping by. I know you're a busy guy. What's up, man? How you doing?
I'm doing great, man. Thanks for having me. Listened to a few of these episodes. You guys are doing some fucking pretty cool shit.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate it. Yeah, and we had just actually, me and Jared just got done doing an episode with Johnny on his show, Drinks with Johnny, which is amazing, and it's a good time. But yeah, you better, if you're listening to this and you get asked to go do that show, eat some bread before you go there because you're gonna need that in your body.
How was that Little League game afterward, by the way?
Oh, it was great. I was just in the crowd. What the fuck? Hit the ball.
Wait, how many shots did you? Because they played a game where Jared is a Diet Coke fan. And so you set up a bunch of cups with random sodas in there. And every time he got one, he got it right, you had to
If he got it right, he had to do a shot or chug a beer.
Duddy had to, If Jared got it wrong, he would have. No, Jared doesn't drink alcohol. Drink. Oh, yeah.
There wasn't any repercussions. It was really just to pin Jared against Duddy. It was the whole point.
Perfect. Yeah. So you got buzzed up.
I think at the end I had to take like three or four shots.
I think it was three shots and chug a beer.
Three shots and chug the beer. But I mean, before that, I think we had each had two Manhattans and a couple beers.
And
a shot from the hat.
The tequila hat, which was disgusting.
It was fucking gross.
The cool thing, so the Drinks with Johnny show, it's like, it started out, you guys are at your bar in your house, and they make each other drinks. So that's cool, because you learn how to make drinks.
Totally.
And then the second half of the show, you kind of take it over to the couch, and that's when you chat it up.
Yeah.
And that's when you ambush Jared with a, you think you know what Diet Coke's all about.
Exactly.
And he was actually pretty good. I mean, he got one wrong, but he nailed
He got two wrong, but I mean, he was four for six.
Not bad.
One of them was on a technicality, though, because it was ginger beer, but it was diet ginger beer.
That, I felt, was unfair, but I liked it, and I supported it anyway. But yeah, I was like, ooh, that's tough.
I think three shots in a beer. Is good enough. I had to go to my son's Little League game right after. I didn't need it.
Yeah, that's how tight this competition was. Jared literally guessed. He's all, this is ginger beer. And Johnny goes, nope, diet ginger beer. Boom, you're wrong.
I couldn't believe it, though. I mean, he was getting some weird ones right.
Like, yeah.
He actually, Diet Coke, or it was Coke Max. I was like, what is that?
Yeah. No. I had my wife go out and pick out some sodas. And I'm like, just go down the aisle, baby. Pick whatever. We're going to make this shit awesome.
Yeah, she found some old school hitters.
That was pretty awesome. Yeah. So, the show was great. You guys, thanks for doing that again.
No, that was a good time, man. Anyone cool like coming up? Anything?
Yeah, well, I've already filmed a couple. It just takes me a second to edit these things. You know, because I got the platform, as you talked about, you know. Top of the show, we make a drink, and then we get into some interviews, and we'll probably play some fucking stupid game at the end, do something funny. So it takes me a second to edit, but I've already got a few coming out. I did one with my buddy Brandon Saller from Atreyu.
Oh, nice.
So that one'll be out. I have a couple others, but I don't want to say them just yet in case they don't get approved by said guest.
As will happen.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool,
I see.
Man.
Like some topics may have been breached.
Yeah. I mean, that's the idea. I get people drunk and then I get to get some real shit out of them.
Things could be said that you don't want anyone to hear.
Yeah.
And you're just on the couch with your friend. The people probably forget there's a camera at some point. You're just drinking and sitting on your couch.
Oh, dude. When these guys were over, we filmed for like 3 hours. Like we were just chilling. We were just chilling, drinking. And like, before you know it, like you completely forget about that. That's the whole point. You know, not every show is going to be at my house. That's just like the general format. But it is designed to like travel and stuff. When we get back out on the road and stuff, I'll be able to film some more and along, you know, all across the world. That's and stuff.
Awesome. So, well, man, I'm sure that your guys' fans just absolutely love watching those.
Yeah. It's doing pretty well. It's just starting out. So, I got to learn my chops about, a host of shit.
As is this podcast is just starting out. We're learning every day as we go as well, man.
Yeah.
Zero qualifications.
No.
Zero.
Well, that's the brilliant part though, right? You're just talking shit.
Exactly.
That's what you do.
You know,
shoot the breeze and fucking get it going.
As a band, I mean, we've all been in bands or are still in bands, dude. You have to be able to talk shit to even exist on a tour bus.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
It's all it is.
Absolutely. That's all you're ever doing is sitting there having some drinks and talking to your buds about anything and everything.
Whatever.
So why, you know, it's kind of a natural transition to be real.
Yeah, it is.
So pretty cool. Both growing up in the same neighborhood, pretty much, and both kind of getting into bands at the same time. You know. Both having some success, you know, ours obviously way more than yours, but you know, you guys will get there one day. You know, you guys are doing good.
We're working on it.
Keep trying.
The fun little band.
Thank you.
If I have any advice, it's just stick with it. You know,
okay.
Stick with it.
You know, we've thought about stopping a couple of times.
No.
But, you know, okay.
Yeah, there's a couple people out there that'd be bummed.
Well, okay.
There's so many reasons too, but don't do it. What's the biggest crowd you've played for? Because Avenged Sevenfold has played to like a sea of people, like in Europe or South America. I've seen videos where it's like, are you joking?
Yeah, man, it's hard to say. Like, some of them are like the big festivals. You know, those are probably the bigger crowds that we've played. Mm-hmm. You know, especially when we did like Rock in Rio in South America. That was a massive crowd. I think it was like 250,000 people, something like that.
That is insane. Because it's like, we've, you know, as the Dirty Heads, we've had some pretty good success and we've played some pretty big shows, you know. You know, I'd say maybe one of the biggest festivals we've played was maybe, you know, 25, 30,000 people. And that's an endless sea of people.
Yeah.
250,000 people.
I could be lying about that, but it was a lot.
I don't think you are lying.
I've seen the
videos.
Yeah. There's a lot of fucking people. It's got to be around 200, something like that.
That's
so
crazy.
Like, and that was Rock and Rio. But again, that's a festival of like 2 weeks. It's not like we drew all that ourselves.
Yeah.
You know? But like,
you were still on that stage and looking at it.
Yeah. It's
and
a
they
sea
were doing
people.
This.
Yeah. It's,
you know,
it's pretty fun, man.
What's the biggest? I mean, I've seen, I think, 30,000 people with you guys. It was a festival.
Yeah.
It was, and I couldn't even comprehend the 30,000 person deal. I can't even fathom 250.
It's crazy.
It's so much bigger than what I've seen, and I feel like I've seen big. Mm-mm.
Yeah, it's crazy. Because, I mean, I've seen the shows, you know, and I've seen, you know, your guys' shows, and just, you know, where the sea of people is just fucking endless. Those have been like 30 to 50,000 people shows. So to be on stage for over 200,000 people, that is just mind blowing.
If someone Google checks this and I'm full of shit, you know, I apologize.
Actually, try to find Avenged Sevenfold with a huge crowd.
Yeah.
Look up Rock and Rio.
Find that on the internet.
Look up Avenged Sevenfold, Rock and Rio. We'll get a video up at some point and we're putting that up. And I guarantee you, it's not going to be far off from 250 fucking thousand people.
I saw some crowds for them that look like an infinity pool of humanity. It drips off.
It looked like flat earth was real and it was just the people fell off the earth.
Yeah, I know the earth is round because I've seen their crowds and they just fucking tuck under. Half of them are in the shade.
So
you got it.
That's pretty cool. So like I said, like both kind of growing up in the same area, both kind of jumping into the music game around the same time. Look at that. Are you kidding me?
So one is that? That one's Rock and Ring. That's actually in Germany.
Just real quick then, Duddy.
I mean,
that one was probably about 100, I want to say.
So twice as many as that.
I think their band's a little bigger than yours, dude.
You know what? They've been, you know what? I'm really happy for them.
Because it, you know, because earlier you were saying that you got okay.
No, I'm really, really happy to see that.
I think they're not a lot. I'd just say 1-2 million fans bigger. Cool. Not a.
I'm sure at least 3 or 4 of those people have heard of us. So.
Oh, absolutely.
I don't think so. No.
That was that was the Rock and Rings Festival. I knew which one that was. You'd see the Snake Pit, as Metallica called it. They were headlining that one.
Oh, yeah.
Right before them.
What's that? I mean, were you a big Metallica fan growing up?
Oh, yeah. Huge, man. My very first concert I ever went to, my grandfather took me to see Metallica at the Forum, I want to say, back in the day.
That's awesome. And then you guys have toured with them.
Yeah. We've done a few tours with them now, actually. The first show we played with them, I think, was in Mexico City. It was like the first time they'd been back there in like 10 plus years or something like that. And it was 3 nights at this soccer stadium, 50,000 per night sold out. And they didn't like us the first night.
I've heard that the fans there can be pretty brutal. Like, they're there to see the band they're there to see. And if you're not that band, get off the stage.
Well, it's kind of like that in the metal world. That's just kind of how it is. Mm-hmm. To be completely honest, like the first night they were like flipping us off, booing us. I think Zach got a battery thrown at him.
Ouch.
Yeah, it was pretty fucked. And then some guy was actually Matt had a great call on the fan. It was pretty good. He was flipping him off and going crazy. He's like, "Oh, you want me to fuck your girlfriend?" And the guy's like, "Oh, I got all crazy." It's like,
nice.
We kept going.
Because Matt probably could have if he wanted to.
Dude, yeah. Matt's a big dude.
Yeah. So, you know, that was the first night. By the third night, we had gained a little bit of the respect because we just kept going out. They kept booing and we're just like, fuck it.
I mean, how could they not?
We got 30 minutes. You're going to fucking listen to us.
Yeah. That's the attitude. Like, you can go out there and get super butthurt or let the crowd win, or you just go, no. We're going to give you 100% and they're going to come around if you're good, which you guys are.
Oh,
you guys are fucking awesome. I've known and followed Avenged Sevenfold since, dude, all the way back to, we wrote Golden West College up there. I remember when Matt and Jimmy went to Golden West College to do the recording. I was in the same program.
I did that same class as well.
Yeah. And we basically, there was a junior college in Huntington Beach. And a lot of us people that had bands in high school, we went to this junior college because it had a recording studio program and they had a pretty damn good recording studio. And if you were in the program, you got to bring a band in to record. So we all made music. So we're like, perfect. We'll do this class and record our own music. And I remember Matt and Jimmy making this insane, like 2 songs, I think, just this insane thrash metal demo. And it eventually became Avenged Sevenfold.
Yeah, eventually became like Sandy Seventh Trumpet and everything like that, which they ended up recording in Hollywood somewhere. So,
yeah, I remember Matt handing me like a paper sleeve of those 2 songs, way back in the day, and was like, "Oh, look at this! You know, our new thing. We're doing this." And then it was like not long after that, I started seeing Avenged just like popping up everywhere. I was like, "Oh, that's rad!" And then the rest is history. It's awesome. I mean, I go back as far with them as I remember. I mean, you've obviously heard of Successful Failure.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And who was in that? Was it just Matt and Jimmy?
It was Matt.
No, Jimmy wasn't in it.
Jimmy wasn't
just
in it.
Just
it.
Matt.
It was just Matt. It was Matt's band with, fuck.
There couple was a buddies from high school.
Yeah. I don't want to say the wrong names.
Yeah,
they'd be all bummed.
I feel bad too because
it's all guys we all knew, growing up and shit. Yeah. Like I think DiBiase was in there and shit.
My god, DiBiase! DiBiase played in our band for a while. And so I was in a band, a punk band before Dirty Heads called Unknown, and actually Successful Failure, which Matt was in. We played a house party together in someone's living room. I think it was actually like the guitar player from our band's living room.
Those were always the best gigs, like high school when you played. Like,
dude, they took
house
everything,
party in the living room.
Everything out of the house.
Yep.
There was mosh pits in the living room. I mean, people were like heads were going through the drywall and shit. And like the kids' parents were home. The mom ended up ordering a bunch of pizza and was walking around the party handing out pizza as her house was just getting thrashed.
That's fucking Huntington for you.
Dude, I was just gonna say, so Huntington Beach, California, this is like late 90s, maybe early 2000s, and it was like, okay, the Dirty Heads before Dirty Heads. Duddy's got a punk band, Unknown. I'm in a band called Don't Look Back, and Matt Shadows is in a band called Successful Failure. And all the way back in, I think, 1997, Matt Shadows' band called Successful Failure, which was like a thrash punk band that was fucking awesome. I still remember their song Monday Night Football in the Pit, one of the fucking dopest punk songs ever. He was already so rad at like 14 years old. I had a band, Don't Look Back, and there was another band, The Perps, and we formed a record label called Crunk Off Records. I don't even know if you remember this. You're younger than
everyone. Yeah, I'm about 3.5 years younger than everybody.
So you were like in sixth grade or seventh grade when
I was like in seventh grade, because I remember going to one of like the house parties, and it was with and the Perps were headlining the house party.
The Perps were a great local punk band, and half of the Perps went and started HB Surround Sound.
Yeah.
That's the band I was in. I was from Don't Look Back and I went into HB Surround Sound. But so you got the Avenged Sevenfold guys, the Dirty Heads guys. Like we all came from this high school era, and it was just like Johnny said, house parties everywhere and parents supporting punk shows in their living room.
Yeah.
That was pretty awesome.
It was
it's funny the music
that
we ended up making afterward though, because it all in high school, middle school, it was all punk. It was just everything punk. That we were fucking doing was just punk. And then it's like, oh, well, there's other music out there.
There's some different stuff. Yeah. That's so funny, man. So you were saying that you heard that Doug had said, that being said, back in school, go ahead.
Doug Cooper, I'm thinking you're from HB Surround Sound. Yeah. He's been a fan of you guys forever. And, you know, so I think I remember him telling me a story back in the day. Now, this is when Avenged Sevenfold is kind of, they're hitting it big now. I think their song is maybe on K-Rock. You're in the band now. You're still in high school. Right? Is this true?
I wasn't in high school yet. I was out of high school. I joined the band in 2002, the very tail end of 2002. Did a co-headlining tour with Atreyu, and then we cut "Waking the Fall" on the second record in 2003.
You were already out.
Yeah, I was already in the band. I was already out of high school. I didn't finish high school. Yeah.
That's the story I was told. So I was told by Doug that you had to go into your teachers or something and say, see you later, guys. I'm out of here. I'm going on tour.
Yeah, basically.
That was actually, so was that with Avenged or was that?
That was with Avenged. That was with Avenged. So it was the first part of it was, I was just going to do that 2-week, co-headlining tour. Mm-hmm. And then towards the end, they asked if I wanted to join. I was like, well, fuck yeah.
You're a senior? What are you?
I'm a senior in high school at the time. And you know, they were actually like making a couple of bucks here and there. And I was like, this is, even if it's not as much money as I'm making at Don Jose's, I'm fucking doing this. So,
Don Jose's.
I like Don Jose's.
Local plug.
So yeah, then
awesome.
From there, it was just started touring with the guys. We started making "Waking the Fall," and I went into school one day, like where second semester was about to start up or something. And I was like, yeah, I need you guys all to sign this. It says I'm going to do night school, and they all did. And I was 18 at the time, so you know. And they all just signed off for it. And I went to like one class in night school and I was like, fuck this.
I'll figure it out later. Yeah.
If I have to do it again later, because you know, I could be like 40 and come back to this thing.
Yeah. Billy Madison it.
Yeah.
Dude, and that story has always stuck with me. Doug told me this when it happened. I remember him saying like, oh, I talked to Johnny and I didn't know you at the time. I mean, you know, and Doug was like, he's going to play bass for Avenged. And he's like, he told me that he had to go to his teachers and get them to sign off. He was leaving. And I always just thought, that's a movie. That's a dream come true. Like walking into your high school and just later, guys, I'm on tour with the band. I'm asking you now 20 years later.
Yeah.
I have that's had that crazy memory from all the way back then.
That's crazy, man.
That's awesome.
And it's true. Okay, good.
So, I mean, obviously when you think about that and all of that you got to do, I bet you're pretty grateful for all the situations you've gotten to be a part of, right?
Oh, fuck yeah. I think my lucky stars every day for the life I live, man. It's incredible.
Damn. And that being said,
a segue captain coming up right here.
I mean, that was a good one. They still like fed him into it.
Yeah. That was seamless. Right? But I like how when we do a seamless segue, we then talk about it, crushing all this, ripping the seams right out. But sure.
It's like after you have sex, you're like, damn, I was fucking good, wasn't I?
It was good, wasn't it?
And then it's like, well, it was, but now I hate you.
It wasn't as good as you're acting like it was, so now it sucks.
I'm a fucking champ.
Yeah. Woo! Damn it, ruined the segue. Yeah.
So what were you saying, Duddy?
I was saying, so you're, God, you got to be grateful for that. And then, you know, as we always do, we like to have a subject on the show, something make us feel good, something make us think. And today the subject is just be grateful. I think everyone at this table has definitely things to be grateful about. And really everyone in the world, if you take a second back and just think about things that you can be grateful for, you're going to make a list of things that you can be grateful for. I mean, we've all gotten to, you know, live out pretty much a childhood dream of joining a band, getting to tour around the world, a country with our buddies and just make music. And, it's a dream come true. And every day that I think about it, I really am grateful for that. And that doesn't mean that I still don't have things that I'm wishing for, or things that I want, and goals that I'm setting for myself. Of course I do. I still want to be further along every day than I was the day before, but I still want to take a time out of every day to think about the things I'm grateful for. I mean, and I'm grateful every day, like you said, for I get to do what I love for a living, and it's just amazing. What do you got? I mean, let's just take a second here on that note, and let's, like, I think everyone also has someone that they're grateful for. Like, do you have anyone that you're just super grateful for? Not your mom, not your dad, yeah. Just someone in your life, maybe that, you know, or even a couple people that you're just grateful for.
Yeah. So I guess obviously we're all grateful for our family and everyone's super close to us. So that's obvious. So we'll try to choose a little more of a random person. So speaking of music and success and fulfilling dreams, right? Like, I had the same dreams as you guys. I saw myself on stage with big crowds, and I worked my ass off to get to these big crowds. And I didn't succeed in the same way that you guys did, where it's your living and you get to do it every day. And it's like, I could concentrate on the fact that I didn't get to make music my life forever, like something to sustain my livelihood, which I used to do. I was like, oh man, you know what? I didn't have the success I wanted in music. I used to always think that, because I'm like, I wanted to be signed by a label and make big money and have hit singles and tour the world. But over the last 5 years that I haven't been in a band, I've just been cutting hair and surfing and just being a dude. And I've had time to reflect on everything I did get to do in music. Right. And I'm now ridiculously grateful. So I never look at my band as like, ah, we didn't get as far as we wanted. I look at my band now and I go, dude, we did get to play to huge crowds. I got to tour with bands that I looked up. I got to tour with Pennywise and Cypress Hill and Sublime with Rome. I got to play shows with Avenged Sevenfold. I don't know if you remember this.
I do.
We opened for you guys in LA.
And the Henry Fonda Theater.
The Henry Fonda.
When we did our video for the Waking the Fallen song. I always drop
Backcountry, was it?
No.
Yeah,
songs.
Me too.
I'm the worst.
It's his own band. He's like, one of our fucking
Unholy Confessions. There it goes.
Boom. Nice.
Yeah. Hold it out. And first of all, how cool is Avenged Sevenfold, right? My band was a ska punk band, or like a reggae punk band, and Avenged Sevenfold was cool enough to let us open for them at their metal show. And on a weird other note, the band that played right after us was not that big at the time, but they got real big a minute after this show, My Chemical Romance.
Yeah.
I remember standing in the alleyway behind Henry Fonda talking to the singer of My Chemical Romance.
Jared, yeah.
He was nice as shit. We had like a super good long conversation. He was just a normal guy. And I remember being like, what a cool guy. What a nice band. And I swear to God, a week later, their song hit. And I was like, holy shit, that's the guy. And it was just boom.
Yeah, they blew up.
That was rad.
But what I'm getting at is I had the same dreams as them. I didn't get to make it my huge living, but now I look back on music and I'm so grateful for every show I got to play. I got to play Red Rocks. I got to play all these huge venues that my band, honestly, didn't really have any business. We didn't have a huge following. We just were helped out by a lot of people. That gets me to who I'm grateful for. I'm going to give a shout out to a guy who's been on our show twice now, Cheese. Cheese helped my band, and he really helped my brother's band. Obviously, Cheese has helped the Dirty Heads become everything they are. And Cheese helped HB Surround Sound get on so many good tours and play so many great shows. And he never asked us once for a dollar. He just never did. He liked our band and he helped us out. And so every amazing experience I've had musically, a lot of it is because of Cheese. So I thank him so much. And I want to give a quick shout out to a friend of mine, Lance Mokowow, too, who's like a marketing guy. And he let me work for him for three years.
Yeah, I know Lance.
You know Lance.
Great guy.
He's helping us potentially get guests for the show. I mean, he still helps me out. And Lance has never asked for anything from me but friendship. And he's always been good to me. So Cheese and Lance are two people I just wanted to say thank you to. And I'm super grateful for everything they've done for me in life and in music.
That's nice, man. What about you? You got anyone?
Well, you know, I know it's going to be a cliche, but it really is the guys in the band. Just going back to that story, you know, I mean, yep. These guys took me under their wing. Jimmy, specifically, our old drummer, the Rev, and just kind of showed me how to become a musician. I mean, I played in high school and stuff, you know, and I fancied myself a good musician among, you know, my high school. And then playing in a bigger pond, you start to realize I ain't worth shit. And these guys kind of took me under their wings and, you know, really gave me the ability to play and continue on and have a career with music. And obviously without them, I wouldn't have been shit. So that's where, you know, again, it's cliche, but it's fucking honest. And those guys, because I had zero chance on my own. I had to be aligned with these guys. So I'm super, super grateful.
No, that's awesome, man. Because honestly, if I think about it, you know, someone, you know, not my parents, and, you know, I could obviously say cheese. But if I want to think of someone I'm super grateful for, man, I'm going to say Jared, you know?
Yeah.
He's been, you know, not just my friend forever, but he's been my business partner, my bandmate. And we've had our ups, we've had our downs, but we've been on this ride together the entire time.
Yeah.
And we've always had each other's backs. And, you know,
you need that.
You need that. And on top of that, like, you know, just the quality control that it brings when you've got someone you're that close to and you're on the same page. It's like, if I have an idea and he's just like, no, I respect that, and vice versa. And we've always kept that. And yeah. And like you just said, you probably wouldn't be shit without them. They wouldn't be here. There's no way if I didn't meet Jared and we weren't on this ride together and had the same, you know, just beliefs and path, that I would be here doing this. Like, yeah, for sure. Me and him together are a great team. I'm very thankful for him.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's that. Know what, man? Talking about this kind of stuff, you know, it just makes you feel good, Jake. It makes you feel so good. And speaking of feeling good,
slipped it right.
We got a couple sponsors in here that make us feel great.
Segway King. God, it's so silky.
Tell me about these.
We're going to need to get some segways in here.
Oh yeah, you should ride a Segway by when
because
you.
It's, I'm a Segway guy.
You deserve it.
Okay,
just don't ride it off.
You're
a
literally
cliff.
Just riding around the whole fucking episode.
It made me feel good.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, "Just one more day until Friday." But then somebody in the elevator says, "Happy Friday." Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Right.
Woo, that was a lot.
Pro style fucking promo right there.
Yeah, thank you, man. Jake, can we get some more shots?
Christ, I'm exhausted from the promo section.
We're going to need more shots. Oh, you know what? You know, let's light up a blunt.
Okie doke.
You missed one?
There's no, I didn't miss one? It. This is Tradecraft Farms. These things are dope. This isn't even like a sponsor yet. This is just something I had on the table because I like them. So I'm just going to give them a free fucking whoop whoop. They got these little tins, and they come with these dope, like, hemp wrapped blunts.
Pre-rolled, huh?
And they're pre-rolled, and they're dope, so we're going to light one up.
Now it sounds like we're just blowing them, huh? It's like, they come with a crafted tin.
Anything else?
It's a tin. It's tin. We can guarantee you that. All right, light the blunt.
Okay, so yeah. So I noticed some videos online of you guys and some things that you guys love to, like, do pranks on the road. Is there any good ones that mind talking about? Because I know some.
No, I don't mind talking about any of them, to be honest. I mean, that's why we do it.
Yeah.
You know, I actually have a funny one that wasn't on the road that we didn't videotape or anything.
Oh,
like
I would
that.
Love to hear this.
Okay. So most of my pranks are aimed right at Sinister Gates.
Nice.
He's my best friend in the whole fucking world, so I like to fuck with him.
You have to.
Yeah. So I think a lot of people have already seen the couple pranks where I did. I put his voice to make it sound like a chipmunk in his ears when he was playing the show.
Oh, in his in-ear monitor?
In his in-ear monitor.
No fucking
way.
Yeah.
It was pretty awesome.
That's tough right there.
And then I fucking trashed his room right like the first day that he was coming back from having his son.
Okay. There's a video online. Wow. If you could please find it. I watched it. I love it. I meant to send you guys that. So it's Johnny Christ trashing Sinister Gates.
I think it'll be
hotel
under Prank Wars.
Prank Wars.
Like
it's
that.
Pretty easy to find. Grab that one because this is awesome.
Pull that up. That's good.
So those were the two that were videoed. And then Brian got me back last day of the Metallica tour we did last summer, 2 summers ago, whatever it was. And we did. He poured a fucking bucket of ice cold water over my head right before we were supposed to go take a picture with Metallica for the end of the tour and everything.
Oh, that's beautiful.
It was pretty funny. I was like, all right, solid move. So dating back before those even happened, there was a time when Brian and his wife, Michelle, were going to go out on vacation, and I knew that they weren't going to be home. And being the very best friend that I am, I'd have I know the code to his house. You know, I could get in there if I need to. So me and my wife decide that we're going to go in there, and we're going to first off take black tape and put it all over the cameras in this house because I know where every single one of them is. And then we go through and just annihilate his fucking house. And we went in like with duffel bags of shit and like tools and everything like that, zip tied every single drawer together in the house. Found a key to their wine fridge that locked it and hid the key. I changed out Brian's body wash with mayonnaise.
Oh.
My wife is going to love that I tell this part. My wife took a teeny tiny little turd in the bastard bathroom and we left that.
Nice. I'm sure it smelled like roses.
Of course it did. Of course it did.
Upper Decker.
Yeah. We turned over. We made it look like we actually trashed the house, but we were nice. We flipped over cushions, couches and shit, and flipped them all over and like toilet papered the inside of the house and made it look beautiful. Like it made it look like we really fucked it up, but we really were kind of gentle.
Yeah,
about it,
yeah. You know?
But yeah, so we completely trashed it inside of his house. We knew he was coming home like an hour or two later. So, and the brilliant part though is the gift that kept on giving, because I didn't tell him all the little things it did. He's trying to find his wine key. He's like, text me, where the fuck is my wine key? And I'm like,
oh, he already knows immediately it's here. He opens the door and says, fuck.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Are you guys there? And then like, he's like a couple days later, he's all, did you put mayonnaise in my body wash?
Oh, yes. He probably used it three times.
Yeah, he's like, he put it on. He's like, what the fuck is that smell?
And you go, why did it take you a couple days to shower?
Yeah, exactly, dude.
What is happening?
That was one of the pranks that didn't make it on video. That was probably a solid 10, 12 years ago.
If you guys go on YouTube, you'll find him trashing the room. But they did pull up.
Oh, is this it?
This is it. So maybe fast forward, maybe minutes into where he's really tanking the place. Because this is him explaining that so set this up for everyone, because you do a setup at the beginning. He just had a baby, right?
Yeah. So Sin had just had his first kid, Nikki. We had to cancel the show in Philly, actually, so he could go home and do it. And then so I knew. Also had a kid 3 months prior. Our kids are 3 months apart.
Awesome.
And so I knew that he would be fucking tired as shit when he came back out on the road. So I, the very nice guy that I am, decided that he would need to take a nap as soon as he got in, like 11 o'clock in the morning, 12 o'clock in the afternoon, before we played at like 7. And so I was like, well, that motherfucker's not getting any sleep. So I trashed his fucking room. I just went through and methodically, I really took it like a piece of art. I sat back over a couple hours and a couple bottles of wine, just like really...
What
really
can I
nitpicking
do?
It.
What can I do?
Go ahead and hit play. Maybe keep the sound down, and we'll just keep telling the story over the deal. But yeah, so here you are. You're putting chairs into the bathtub.
Yeah, yeah. That one. Nice. That was I also knew that he would probably want to take a shower and clean up.
That's the lotion
all over it.
Nice, nice.
Now this one was difficult.
I love this part.
This one I actually had to figure out. This was very difficult to get into the shower, actually.
So probably difficult to get out.
Exactly. It was incredibly hard. I actually had to have our camera guy help me to get it in there. I ordered really nice bottles of wine on his tab. So that one was
beautiful.
And you guys know, too, you've traveled all day. All you want to do is take a shower and lay down. And you just had a baby. You haven't slept in a month.
Yeah. It's a real dick move.
Oh.
This also took like a solid amount of time. Each thing was like, it was hard to get it going, so I knew it was going to be hard to not find, like, get it out of its position.
I like how you did like a real world confessional interview, too. You're like in the corner, like, yeah, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, just bad lucking his whole life.
Yeah. Right there. Never open an umbrella inside a shower is okay, though, because it's like rain, though, right? So it's okay in the shower.
Oh, you know what? Yeah, it makes sense. You don't want to get wet in the shower, so you helped him out on that one.
It's the most outdoor place.
Oh, and then this is probably frowned upon, I'm sure.
Oh, of course. That is a non-smoking hotel. I guarantee you that.
$250 fine.
Yeah, taking food literally right out of his baby's mouth. I love this. This is great.
I took all the light bulbs out so that he couldn't turn on the lights.
Nice.
Just disrespecting that fine artwork and photery.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure this was at like a really nice hotel too.
It looks like
swanky.
Looks swanks.
Look, there's the freaking Chicago skyline out the window.
I think this is Denver, actually. That's a Denver.
Denver, hey. Yeah. Well, that's a double waterfall. That's Denver all day.
Yeah.
Those aren't in Chicago.
That's pretty awesome.
The one waterfall.
So what was his reaction then when he came back from this?
So that's the only bummer that I didn't, you know.
Oh, I guess really you couldn't be there.
I couldn't be there because then he would know. I couldn't just be like, hey, buddy, how are things going? He would know something's up, right?
Yeah.
I wanted him to literally go up to the fucking door and just open it and see all that shit. From my understanding, our security guard that helped him up to his room, he opened it and immediately went, fuck.
Oh.
And the best part, the part about him not being able to sleep, I hid the mattress.
Is that on there?
It should be on there. Early. No, it's all good. It's all good. We so can, I hid the I hid the mattress behind the curtains.
Oh, nice.
And he could not find him for like a fucking couple hours.
That is like, beautiful.
They actually, the security guard actually asked me, he's like, hey dude, he really needs to know where the mattress is. He wouldn't even text me. He was that fucking irate. He's he wouldn't even directly text
me. Now I'm not speaking to him, so please
tell him find out where the mattress is right now.
That is so good.
They couldn't find it. He had the security guards helping him clean up and everything like that. And the hotel was completely sold out, so he couldn't get in
the room. I was just going to say, could he get in there? Nope. Done. Nope. Lucky to have this one. Sleep on the floor.
Yeah, that was. I was pretty proud of that one.
Oh, that's fucking
amazing.
That's
one of those things where he was so fucking pissed at you, but now he's probably so happy you did that.
Oh, yeah,
because that video is worth everything. This story's worth everything.
Well, that's kind of our prank wars like thing. Like, if it's... We discuss them later and be like, yeah, that was pretty fucking funny. And it's always, you can't do anything stupid. Whatever you do, it could piss me off at the time, but make sure it's fucking clever or something like that.
Yeah. If it's just been mean or,
that's not
that
fun.
That one's mean, but totally funny and absolutely necessary.
Yeah. And it was drawn out. Thank it was you. Drawn out.
I'm grateful. Can I be the segue?
Wow.
Oh.
No, Captain, from now on.
They call that a callback.
That in the industry, everyone. I'm grateful for you doing that. Thank you. Boom.
I am grateful for a thermometer change in here. Could we get
a little chilly, man. I think we need to warm ourselves up with another fucking proper 12.
Jake, we need some warmth.
Oh, shit. I'm going to need a fucking Uber. I'm like I'm a lightweight.
All right.
So anyone who wants to have sex with me later. Yeah, you got it.
Uber it is. Pour yourself a little baby
Everyone's
guy.
All, no. Nobody wants to. All right,
all
fine.
Right, well, just pour all me right, and Johnny dude. One then.
Yeah, that's fine. I Ubered here. I'm responsible.
You did? Friend.
Oh, well.
We'll share one.
I always do that.
Yeah. What was that? Where was I going with that?
I've had two shots.
Know, you threw me off with your segue because normally I'm supposed to segue, and then it's hard to segue a segue.
It's tough when you're the segue captain and then someone obviously is far better.
Whoa.
Yeah, kind of like when you thought your band was bigger than Avenged Sevenfold, and then we looked at three pictures.
If we can go back into when I, at the time I said that, we were, and then they just passed us right after that.
You're actually probably right.
So, truthful.
Shit. Well, hard to find out any real facts about that.
So, after this
no
shot,
fact check on that one.
Before we take this shot, I'll let you ponder this right before we take it. Piss face?
Oh
dude, yeah.
You want to hear about that one?
Bring it. Why not?
All right.
Piss fetish?
Actually, you know what, you guys? Nah, we don't want to talk about that. So someone in their band pissed on someone else in the band's dad's face, but that's not something we even want to talk about here. So how do you feel about our sponsors?
I'm feeling good with Duddy right now. And that's all right. Pretty good.
Let's just forget about the P-Face. Duddy.
We don't. Don't not talk about it on my account.
We are totally talking about it.
We fucking have to. And everyone at home's like, dude, Jake, get off the show. You're the worst, Duddy.
I mean, we had a whole segment about shitting your pants. I think we can have a segment about piss face.
Oh, by the way. Next time I see cheese, Tiff. That's an epic story.
That's right, and our buddy Chad from Chadcast. That's two D's too. Chadd cast. Chadcast. He came on, I think, 4 or 5 episodes later and told his own pants shitting story. So,
if I haven't
you feel like
that one
sharing,
yet.
If you haven't shit your pants,
and we're gonna be having a special episode coming soon.
Anyone who says I haven't shit their pants is full of it.
Oh.
No, no, no.
You're looking at the unicorn.
No way. There's no
way. You're
looking
at the unicorn.
I think when cheese fucking oil checked you, something might have came out that you don't remember.
Onto his finger, but not into my pants.
Dude, if his finger swiped your
technicality.
On the way.
A technicality.
It's shit your pants, not shit cheese's finger.
Oh, wait, fuck, wait. No, not, not even a full shit. Like, not even a shart. Like, not even a missed
not
fart.
Not even a shart. You want to know why, though? I think it's a little bit. It's a little bit of luck. It's a little bit of a tight grip, and it's a little bit of
I didn't hear. I heard it wasn't that tight, dude.
I heard he slipped directly in. This is a
weird thing about cheese. Weird thing about cheese. You don't know about him. One of his fingers, super, super skinny and small. Super skinny and small.
And that was the one.
That was the one.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, dude.
Where were we? Oh,
you got to listen to episode one of
piss
Feeling
Shit.
Good to understand right. what the
Go to the archives.
Go to the archives, dude. Yeah.
Speaking of archives, piss face?
Piss face.
We don't want to talk. We don't want to talk about.
No.
No, of course we do. Yes. Who peed on whose dad's face?
That would be the work of one Johnny Christ on the work of one Sinister Gates father.
Oh. I hope he's watching.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. He's actually had to recall this story several times because it's one of our favorites to tell our friends and family and everything like that. So he's lived it.
What happened?
You know, this was back in the day where in New York. We had a Warped Tour in New York. Backcountry was just starting to get played on MTV, and MTV was actually out to do an interview with us, all this kind of stuff coming up the next day. So the responsible gentleman that I am, I got really shithoused from the city that we had left before there to go in there. And Brian's father was out on the road with us. And he was in one of the bunks in the buses, as you know, one of those little bunks. Oh, yeah. The curtain closed up.
Oh, yeah.
And apparently he thought it was raining outside. He was like, oh, man, it's raining. The show's going to suck. MTV's out here to interview. And, man, now it's raining. I mean, it'd be a lot better setting for MTV to see these guys and, you know, some better weather. And he's like, wait a minute, it's not fucking raining. He opens up his curtain, gets a fucking arced golden right between the eyes. I'm pissing all over his face. He's like, what the fuck? And he can't see who it is. And then all he sees is a fucking naked ass crawl up into the second bunk above him. And he goes, oh, I don't even know what the fuck just happened to me. And then he reaches down into one shoe that he had sitting outside the bunk, completely dry. But the one with his wallet was filled to the very top.
The critical shoe. The 50%. Someone thought that they were in the bathroom, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I definitely did.
Oh, it was you? I was the one.
Oh,
I got. Yeah.
I was the one that peed on him.
Mark farted in the room and made me a fucking aware of it and stole me away from the.
Oh, yeah, you farted during a piss story? Come on.
I mean, you kind of have to.
Yeah, like we don't smell it. It was not. But dude, so it was you peeing.
I peed on his face.
I've seen this happen twice. So you're not alone. And
there's got to be other people. Not on our.
Yeah,
there we go.
So you.
I haven't shit my pants, but I have pissed the face.
That's so what happens though. You get disoriented on the fucking bus. You're fucking okay. Let's not pretend like I wasn't blackout drunk.
Yeah,
I was
exactly. Yes, yes. That's always part of it.
You don't piss on a face sober unless you got
to
piss.
Oh my god. We now have a pants shitting segment, and we now have to have face Johnny piss. Because you've said a face. I guarantee you 100 people have a face piss story, or at least a pissing in the wrong area, thinking that you're in the bathroom because you're drunk.
Yeah.
I have two stories of people pissing on. I love that you're bringing this.
I did it. Yeah.
This is going to help people grow.
It is. I did pretty much same thing as you. It was at our time, my guitar tech. Actually, I don't even think he was with us. I think he was with Rome was touring with us at the time, but not with Sublime with Rome. He was doing his solo thing and he was touring with the Dirty Heads. And at the time, his tech guy was Dakota, who ended up becoming my tech for a while. Awesome guy. It was his birthday and he doesn't really drink much or like to go out much, but we like made him go out. And we all went hard, and same thing. I just fucking got hammered and, you know, must have thought that I went to the bathroom. And I just remember waking up by someone, like, grabbing my ankle and, like, shaking me, and I, like, snap out of it, and I'm just pissing on John's face.
No!
Yeah. Pissing on his face.
On your own bandmate.
My own percussion player's face. Pissed on it.
So that's we amazing, got a, your story has now inspired a Dirty Heads piss face story.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
And he was actually took it way better than I would. He was like, he knew how wasted I was, you know? And so he was just
I can't
like,
believe he came too.
Man.
I did not come too.
You know, he's like, what the fuck? And I was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. Of course. He was like, oh, it's all good, man. He's like, I'm going to go sleep in your bunk. You sleep in mine. I was like, good idea. Because I had pissed in his. He's like, I love fuck you.
Well, that's brotherhood right there.
Brotherhood.
Yeah.
I love that all he saw was you crawling back up into your bunk.
All and he just... saw. And he didn't. And he wasn't completely positive. He had piss all over his face. So the next morning, Brian comes out and he sees him laying out everything in his wallet with a blow dryer, trying to dry out all of his shit. And he says, what happened? So I'll tell you. I'll tell you later after the show. And so
he was dealing with it all.
Yeah, he was dealing. He was just fucking pissed. He had been freshly showered at like 6 o'clock in the morning when we rolled into the fucking Warped Tour stage and everything like that. And like, so I had no idea. And then he told him right before. Yeah, I guess apparently he told Brian right before we went on stage. And Brian's like, oh, dude, you did something fucked up last night. I had no recollection of this.
You can't even be blamed. It was not a vindictive move. I mean, no. It's like, you can't even be mad.
And Brian's like, oh, you fucked up big time. I'm like, oh, dude, I don't remember anything. What did I do last night? What did I do? So I'll tell you after the show. So I'm playing the show the whole time going like, fuck, what did I do to somebody in the band? They're going to kick my ass. And I'm just like worried the whole time. And then afterward, I hear the story and I had to, of course, apologize very deeply. But yeah.
And again... So happy you did that.
I'm sorry.
I'm so happy. I'm so grateful.
Papa Gates, his face Papa alone Gates. has given many people joy. Because this is not the first time we've told this story.
You're a legend, Papa Gates.
Papa Gates,
you're a legend, sir. Dude, and then so great. Here's the deal. Keeping it back, I don't know if I should say who did this, because like it could potentially, I don't know, but it was someone in HB Surround Sound. We're on tour. And I wake up in the middle of the night, Matt, Denny, and
you
I
do sounds like,
yeah,
sounds okay. Like. I will say that he has curly hair.
Oh, okay.
That's all I'm willing to say. And I mean, a simple Google search would never clear this up for anybody. No.
We'll say mug looper.
Dude, that might kind of rhyme with his name, but maybe not, dude. Google search again, but you can't trust Google. So Matt, Denny, and I, who's the guitar player from Surround Sound, and we wake up, you know, we're in the bed together, naked, whatever. No, we're not. We're all in the same room. All right. Surround Sound was on a budget, dude. So we got
you guys using this koi stuff.
You know, we were, dude, back rubs, y'all.
Rubbing it
Guess
in.
What? Mm. Still no back pain. How are we doing? All right. So Matt and I are in the, I remember we both wake up and we're kind of like, dude, what's that sound? It sounded like someone turned a faucet on. And we both wake up and we are like, yeah, no, that's weird. And then I look in the corner and it's fucking Blair Witch, dude. There's someone with long curly hair in the corner and we're like, hey, and it's Schmug Schmrooper peeing into the corner of the room, thinking that he or she, we're keeping it real secretive, is in the bathroom and pissing all over, I'll say his name, Justin Snyder's computer and camera, our camera guy, all over his shit.
Oh my.
And so we're like, hello. We're like, no,
that's worse
no.
than a face, though. That's worse than a
almost,
face.
Almost, right?
You could wash your damage. Face off. Yeah. That's damage to your computer.
Dude, it was, you know, everything was fine.
Yeah.
So in the end, everything was fine, dude. We stuck it in a bag of rice. No, I'm kidding. He wiped it off. Nothing was damaged, but we had to go wake him up mid piss. And it's like, don't wake up a sleepwalker because he kind of freaked out.
Stepbrother
style. Absolutely. It was Sprayed a weird everywhere. Moment. Another moment, I had a girl stay at my house New Year's Eve night one night.
Also Schmug Looper.
All curly hair in surround sound. Gonna keep, it was a girl. Okay. Potentially. And then dude. And I remember I wake up at like 2-3 in the morning and I hear pee again and I look and she had pulled out the center drawer of my, like, you know, your, what is it? What's the thing? Desk? No, not desk.
Cupboard?
You put your clothes in it. Dresser. I've had two
Holy
shots.
Shit, he is a
Who wants to take me home?
The rapist for 200.
Who wants to have me? I've had two proper 12 shots. Yes, she's sitting on the second drawer of my dresser, taking a full-blown piss, dude. And I just had to, like, deal
it sounds
with
like a pretty sturdy dresser, though. I mean, she's sitting on the second drawer.
I think she's used to the kitty litter, and that's at her and her house. It's the drawer.
She's used to hovering. She had solid oak. No, I don't know. It was either way, dude. You're not alone.
Yeah,
your story
feels
way
so
better,
good. I'm grateful for these stories.
Yeah,
because it makes me feel better that I'm not the only asshole that's peed on people.
From alone, he peed on John's face.
I think though the only thing better than pissing on your friend is pissing on your friend's dad.
Yeah,
let's be honest,
dude. Nothing's
right
beat
place,
that.
Right time. Right.
I mean,
there's like very few opportunities for anything. Why would you ever be in the vicinity of your friend's dad in a pee opportunity? I mean you might be alone on earth.
That's kind of like a white buffalo or something.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's kind of what always started like the prank wars and everything between me and Brian. Like since the very beginning, he used to bully me, and then we'd fucking go back and forth because I wouldn't take it. And like, he could kick my ass, obviously, but other than that, I
got you can piss on his dad's face.
Exactly. I find way.
Checkmate.
Oh, wait, so you won, dude, all right? Like, forever. Like, in the end, you guys will be old playing chess in a park, and he'll be like, at this point, you fucking, there's no one left for me to piss on to top that. Yeah. But, when you came into the band, was he kind of the... Like a bully
A little bit. Here's the deal.
Yeah.
I was a fucking 18-year-old shithead. I deserved every fucking minute of it. I came in fucking thinking my fucking shit was fucking hot diarrhea, you know, or whatever the fuck the phrase is.
Do you mean smelled like roses?
Smelled like roses. There you go. So, you know.
Because everyone loves hot diarrhea.
You guys don't like hot diarrhea?
Dude. I do.
You guys haven't tried life.
I have, but not in my pants.
Bullshit.
I love this though. You came in.
I came in. You know, I'm just like, you know, oh fucking yeah. They like me, man. I'm fucking in. And so obviously there had to be some hazing going on, which happened, you know, often for the first couple of years, man. Like there was and the other part of it is I knew these guys before I was in the band. They were a couple of them were really good friends with one of my older brothers, so I was always. The younger brother.
And I wondered how
younger sibling.
Because you're 3 years younger, you said, than them?
Younger, yeah.
Like how? At high school, that's a big fucking gap.
Yeah, totally.
Now it's,
No, I mean, like I said, it was a relationship through one of my brothers that even they would know me. And then it was another one of my buddies, Ryan Alonzo, shout out, was in a garage band with him, and it was right down the street from M. Shadow's garage. So we would sit outside, and I was the little shithead that would wait outside of the garage smoking cigarettes so I could get it. So honestly, it started, I wanted to watch Jimmy play. Like, I wanted to sit behind Jimmy and watch him play.
It was fun to watch play drums.
Jimmy.
That's how it started, and then obviously I started listening to the songs. I was like, oh, these guys are fucking pretty good. Like, and then, you know, I knew Brian from my childhood and everything. Obviously an incredible guitar player, so I was like starting to fan up, you know? And I started jamming with Jimmy, not to go off on a tangent, but that's kind of where it all started. Like,
no one's gonna be bummed to hear Jimmy stories either. We did have a fan write us that said, "I want to hear Jimmy stories," because we said that you were coming in.
Yeah,
and I'll find the name, but
I've got a million of those.
Yeah.
After they're done rehearsing, I'd pick up the bass, and Jimmy'd be like, "You know any songs?" I'm like, "I know some Primus songs," and me and him would just jam out on some Primus stuff, and. That's kind of how it started. We were always, in our band, we had listened to Pinkly Smooth a lot, which was Jimmy and Brian's side project.
Yeah.
And we were always begging Jimmy, because we loved his voice, to please sing on our demo. Just our demo, dude. We'll find a singer afterwards. Please, we'll give you money. Just come fucking sing on our demo, because none of us could sing. Needless to say, that never happened. So from that point, it just, you know, I was always the little brother around, you know, little shithead. It was just... You know, taking advantage of the luck that I was given the opportunity to do, and so there was a lot of hazing. There was a lot of, you know, hey, we got a band meeting over here in this hotel room. Come over and meet up. And I'm like, dude, you guys gonna pour water on me again? And they're like, no, swear to God, this time. I'm all seriously though. Like, this is my last pair of clothes I have right now, and I can't afford to fucking go dry them again right now. I mean, this is early on. We're in the fucking van and shit. I walk up. Sure enough, fucking trash can full of water.
If you say this is my last pair of clothes, done.
I know. I was still
learning. We weren't going to prank you, but now we have to.
Yeah, I was still learning the process here. Yeah. I was 18 years old, you know. I had it coming. So, yeah, when I say bully, it was more like hazing and those kind of things.
You're
was,
in the band.
Yeah,
they exactly. obviously like you, but they got to fuck with
if
you.
If they didn't like you and they didn't think they were going to probably keep you around, they wouldn't have been hazing you.
Yeah, exactly. That's true. When you look back at it now, like we've had other... we've had other people, we had Mike Portnoy come in, everything like that. And from the beginning, he helped us out immensely, obviously, getting us back and after the rev passed. But from the beginning, we always knew that it was going to be a temporary thing. And then, never any hazing. I think that also comes with you grow up a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
They're 21 and 22 and I'm 18. Yeah. Like, we're all fucking around. We're all in fucking...
You almost enjoy it.
Yeah,
you're
totally.
Like, oh, cool, these older cool guys are fucking with me. It's almost kind of like, cool, they accept me. You know?
Yeah,
like,
totally.
And I mean, I haven't toured with the Dirty Heads in a while. I tour managed them when they first started, and they fucked with each other. Obviously, you're young. So when you're young, you're more rambunctious. And also, if you're in a band that's starting to blow up, you are living a fantasy world. So yeah. You are just fucking with each other. Like really the Dirty Heads used to F with each other all the time. Are you guys mellower now on the road or is
we're mellower.
But you're still effing with each other.
Oh yeah. You have, I mean, though,
obviously those,
it manifests in like prank wars or something like that. Or, you know, something as simple as, I don't know if it's the same way with you guys, but like when you're all sitting around talking shit and then one guy gets up and leaves, you know, that guy's getting shit talked on.
Oh yeah.
You know that the wolf pack is going, that fucking guy, as soon as he leaves the room. And it doesn't matter who it is. Yeah. And it's all in love, you know, but you're just like, it's funny. Cause, and then they come back and you go like, yeah, we were saying this shit. Yeah,
we just fucking talked so much shit on you.
And that's like an actually really great thing because some people out there, whether you're just a whatever normal person, or if you're a rock star in a big band, everybody gets shit talked on. And when you're in a band or when you live in Southern California in general, to the land of competition, everybody's talking. If you're a surfer, a skater, in a band, whatever, everyone's talking shit. It's just a shit talk land down here because everyone's trying to be cool and rad. Eventually you shed the skin of like, oh, this guy said this about me. It's all in love. Like if people are talking about you, they like you. It's good to be able to shake it off. You walk out of the room, you know you're going to get heckled.
Oh, yeah.
You probably did wear dumb pants one day or say something stupid yesterday, or you're going to fucking say something dumb tomorrow. Whatever. It doesn't mean people don't like you. It just means that they're talking about you, and it's like a good thing. I'm only, you know,
It's the best way to get the gift of gab, as they say too. Because you got to be able to retort, man. In a fun way. Yeah. You can't just be like, well, fuck your mother. It's like, no, you gotta come up with something clever.
Well, and and when you're saying like, oh, they leave the room, and you're like, we're talking shit. We're not like, fuck that guy. Hate that guy. It's more like, dude. It's more like, oh my god.
Did you just hear what he said earlier today?
I fucking saw him do this. And what you talk about when he comes back, everyone goes, oh, fucking bro, I heard you did this shit yesterday.
You can't get away with shit in this world. Yeah. Like, look, our friend Chad, again, to bring him up, Chad Gass, he ordered a cider the other day. We shit on him for 3 hours. I'll have a cider.
Yeah.
Dude, and it's just
all good.
Welcome to asshole land. Yeah. Okay.
It's all in good fun.
It's all in great fun, dude. Fun, man. We got more. There's no reason to slow down too. If we got more, we might be longest show yet. I don't want to stop.
That's all good.
I'm good with whatever you guys want to do.
I want to say so you know, we got the segment one time at Bandcamp. You want to jump into it?
Let's do it.
Can we hit that?
Oh, and this one time at Bandcamp,
we got one drop and we're fucking wildly proud of it. Dude.
Made that ourselves.
Yeah.
That's really good, guys. Thanks,
man. So those of you who say we're not professional, no one. Fuck off. All right. Bandcamp.
All right. So I guess it's up to me now, right?
No, it's you. I'm going to just chill for a sec.
All right. So I'm going to make a little long-winded one time at Bandcamp.
Do it.
All right. So I'll paint the picture first. This is in 2008. We're out on the road in Europe. And a little band called Iron Maiden is taking us out in Europe.
Never heard of them.
Yeah, no.
Small act. Local?
local to Europe, you know, somewhere across the pond. And, you know, at the time, we're coming off the success of City of Evil here in the States, and our self-titled. We're actually in the middle of the tour for our self-titled record, and we're kind of feeling ourselves, and we're talking to other bands that have been out with Maiden and stuff. They're like, dude, do you guys know what you're getting into? These fucking fans are brutal. And we're like, we got this, guys. We're a confident bunch of fellows, and we're ready to go. We're like, dude, it's not going to be that bad. Boy, were we wrong. We went out day one in Italy. I want to say it was Bologna. And we first, before we were about to go on, we hear a group of fans, however be it small, but a group of fans going, hey, 7X, hey, 7X. Well, fuck yeah. They know us in Europe. This is going to be awesome. No,
told ya.
Lasted about 30 seconds before army of Iron Maiden fans yelling Iron louder than you could have ever fucking imagined, just brutalizing like the 1400 fans that we had in this gigantic soccer arena.
Those fans of yours didn't realize that they started a war.
Pretty brutal.
They were trying to help.
They didn't realize what they had done. So we hit the stage and we're like, oh fuck, we're immediately getting hit with a bunch of boos. And here's the part that you can't write. They actually were throwing salami sandwiches at us in Italy.
salami sandwich.
We actually took a moment. I believe Zach picked one up and started eating it and just like fucking went for it.
So
it
was like the greatest thing?
They should have.
I don't know, man. It was there.
If you were in Bologna, I feel like they should have thrown bologna.
Yeah, exactly. I agree, but it was a cured meat of some kind.
So fuck you, Bologna.
Yeah.
But awesome what Zach did. Because that's what you got to do. You can't get butt hurt.
No, just bite the bullet. We finished our set. We got off the fucking stage. Throughout the tour, there was some more stuff like that, but it didn't get worse. Got slightly better each show. You know, we started fighting through it. But to make this tour happen, I will tell you, we were living fucking lean to make this tour happen.
Oh, yeah.
We were in a bus with all of our crew. We were bunking up hotel rooms, everything like that. We're staying in the outskirts of cities because can't afford to get the hotels in the actual city. And we got to stay close to the stadiums. The stadiums are never in the big city that they claim that they are. They're always outside. So we're staying in all these places. We're learning. I don't know if you guys have been to Europe very much, but when you go there, there's different hours of food, especially when you get outside of, you know, outside of the metropolitan cities. If you want to eat at a fucking certain hour and you're starving, you might not be able to find food anywhere.
Yeah, Europe will do things like we're closed at 6 p.m.
Exactly. Yeah, and to them, it all makes sense. But as an American, we've only been out there a handful of times at this point.
Like, we want food at all times right now.
Yeah, we're Americans.
Where's every fast food place?
Yeah, no shit. So it feels like we're like 2 months in and we're probably only 2 weeks in. But we're ready to like fucking get at each other's throats at this point. We have like 3 days off in Barcelona. So we go into Barcelona. This goes back to a Jimmy story. We, we're kind of at each other's throat at this point. We've all been cooped up in shitty places and, you know, we don't have any money or anything like that. So, me and Jimmy decide that we're just going to get fucked up for 3 days straight. We close the door to the fucking hotel room that we're sharing. And we just trashed that motherfucker, like Fear and Loathing style. Our manager came in at one time and was like, what the fuck? We had put pillows underneath the door so they couldn't smell the smoke or the water that had filled the whole fucking room. They had broken glass everywhere. We had thrown each other's heads in the wall. We were going all out. We're like, fuck this. This shit's never, we're never going to get back to fucking Barcelona because we're all going to fucking go home after this. Fuck it. Let's have a good time. Go down to the pool. This was a funny story. We go down to the pool and there's the adult pool in Spain where, you know, it's, you know, nude sunbathing, you know, and they don't think anything of it and, you know, you probably shouldn't. But we found it fucking hilarious while we're drunk as fuck and, you know, we've been drinking for 3 days straight and we're just like, all right, we're going to go down there and we're going to get just one nut tanned. And we went down there and our boxers just let one nut hang out while we ordered drinks from the fucking bartender guy. And he just has to come up and like give us drinks while we just have one nut hanging out.
So much funnier than two nuts.
Yeah. If you do two nuts, it's kind of funny. Ball bag hanging out. But never like, has just one nut.
Twice as little is twice as funny. Never, nowhere else is that true. Okay, so you and Jimmy, one nut out.
We have the, and it's a guy that's like serving us. He's just like, God damn idiot. When he has to keep serving us, and we just keep getting like mojito after mojito down by the fucking pool. Completely shit house. The room's a fucking mess. We keep telling them, the management at the hotel keeps threatening to kick us out. It's like, we need to get in there and clean. You guys have been here. We hear what's going on. We need to get in there and clean. I'm like, no, you're not getting in here. So long story long, at the end of it, where we fucking literally jet out of that hotel because we knew we were going to get fucked. We got like thousands of dollars worth of damage in the bill on our way out.
You don't want to be there when it goes down.
No, we were like, no, I don't want you to even look me in the eye. Yeah. I got to get the fuck out of here.
We left thousands of dollars under the pillow. Whatever. If there's extra, buy your children something.
So yeah, and then, you know, the moral of the story is at the end of the tour, we had actually won over some fans, and that's actually the tour that broke us in Europe. Before that, we were playing in clubs and, you know, a couple hundred people here and there. And the worst tour that we ever did in Europe was that. I mean, Iron Maiden guys were fucking great to us. They were absolutely awesome. We went out to pubs with them, had some beers with them. They were absolutely, couldn't be better dudes. The fans, on the other hand, took a minute, but they came around, and then immediately following that, the next time we were in Europe, we were in small arenas.
So that's beautiful.
Always in, you know, very grateful for Iron Maiden having taken us out. So thanks again, boys.
Dude, that's dope. Going back to, you know, the subject of the show, being grateful. I mean, look at that. You know,
Iron Maiden.
What a legendary band. And then you got to go roll with them and just win over all these fans and just go on this crazy adventure with your buddies. And it's almost just like it's a movie.
Yeah.
There's been so many times it's just on this show that we've talked about a story from a guest. And it's like, that's not a real life story. That's a movie.
That was the PG rated version. Too,
yeah, I bet. But man,
I don't want to throw my brother under the bus here.
No, right. You know what, though? We have to have you back.
I'd love to come back.
Because I feel like I could talk to you.
This is great.
We
this
could just go
easy.
For 10 hours. It's too easy. So we have to have you back. And we have to all share Jimmy stories.
Yeah, I'd love to do that.
That'll be huge. And so that's going to happen.
Yeah.
Anyway, and that's a few. There's already been a couple. I have one. I have a couple personal ones. I'm sure everyone does.
Well, that was the brilliance of the Rev, man. There was never a shortage of stories. That was very therapeutic after his passing. We literally sat around for weeks with people coming in and out of their houses. And, you know, we all powwowed at Matt's house first, and we powwowed at Brian's house, and we powwowed at my house. And we had all friends and family come in and have some drinks and share Jimmy stories. And that was how we got through it, to be honest.
That's amazing, man. Well, you know, once again, thank you so much.
No, thanks for having me, man. It was fucking fun.
Thanks to all the sponsors once again. Reamp Studios, thanks for having us. If you need some cool-ass gear, go to cutlassbrand.com. Check it out. They got some amazing stuff, and they're also one of the sponsors of the show, every single show. What's up,
and
Jake?
More so, do you have anything you want to promote? Obviously, we got Drinks with Johnny.
Yeah, Drinks with Johnny is the main thing for me right now. That's, I'm just doing that show, just starting out as you guys are here. So if you get a chance to check it out, I got some few episodes coming out. It's pretty lax. We're not doing that many of them. It's probably about once a month. You just go check out the YouTube channel and anywhere you podcast.
Do they just subscribe to the Avenged Sevenfold YouTube channel?
Yeah, and then in the archives there, you'll find the Drinks with Johnny. And then anywhere you podcast, you can subscribe there, and you'll have the full versions of the episode.
Okay, so go ahead and subscribe everywhere. Drinks with Johnny. Go to the Avenged Sevenfold YouTube. Subscribe. Watch the episode with Duddy and Jared from the Dirty Heads. And I definitely want to have Jared on our show too. I think we should have him on for the Jimmy stories.
I think next time we have Johnny, we'll just have Jared too.
Absolutely.
Sounds like a good time.
And, anything, Daddy?
Man, just take a second out of your day today or tomorrow, whenever you listen to this, and just think about all the things you're grateful for. And then, just reflect on that for a second, because there is so many things. And thanks for joining in. Feeling good with Daddy. Peace.
How do you feel when you switch to GEICO and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with GEICO feels just like that. Get more with GEICO.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.